When I was a kid, my mother used to say, if you wanted to know what the weather was like, just stick your head out the window. So I've got two temperatures in front of me. One is from the National Weather Service. It says 67 degrees. And the other one is our little thermometer here that we have out on the deck. And it says 91 degrees. So here's my suggestion. Stick your head out of the window. Because the temperature is somewhere between 67 degrees and 91 degrees.
Well, I noticed that over the weekend. I was at one of these fairs, and if you're in the sunlight, it was just horribly hot. If you sat in a shady place, it didn't feel that bad. So I think that's what we're dealing with right now.
Because I'm not even going to try to figure this out. Anyway, it's sunny, so Paul Smart must be in the house.
Well, yes, I am. And, you know, we're in that in-between period. Camp has ended. School doesn't start for another basically 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. You know, so everybody's taking vacations. We're noticing that around here as the roads have gotten a lot more crowded. There are a lot of people around this past weekend and expected for the next 3 weekends, actually, as people come around. But also expect a lot of people that you know not to be around. I know we're going away to the beach next week. A lot of people we know are off visiting family, whatever. It's like everything shifts around for this last bit of August.
Well, I arose early in the morning on Saturday and drove out to Newburgh to the airport and put the little tykes on the plane. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's where I see this lightness in your step. That's where those jumping dance steps are coming from.
Yes, we're back to being two old people in our house. The pitter-patter, and you can't even call it pitter-patter when it's from a 7 and 8 year old.
No, that's a stampede.
They're gone. I love them now, don't get me wrong.
Well, it was a big weekend everywhere up here. You know, Hudson had its, I think it was its second annual Hudson Music Festival. Big success. A lot of rain on Saturday. A lot of stuff got rained out. But people kept up at, you know, kept the music going no matter what. And then yesterday was just a grand celebration. I think it was Friday night. There was performance down at Basilica Machines, and there were a lot of local musicians involved, Brian DeWan, Melissa Oftemauer, Tommy Stinson, and all, you know, all of these are all people who have great ties into WGXC.
I have a few cuts I'm going to play later from
Brian.
Okay,
yeah, and from everything I heard, that was just a fabulous amount of fun. You know, I was dealing with, you know, our son who was just... we figured out that he had not had a bowel movement for over 9 days beforehand. He just was, he was just seeing how long he could go, as he said.
That's a boy's mentality.
Well, it's just, you know, it all comes down to you know, control. And, you know, he'd been watching the Olympics, and he wanted to be an Olympian, too, and he figured that Olympians did this sort of thing. It was so that's what we were dealing with instead of machines.
Oh, my goodness.
There was also, we went, speaking of Olympians, a huge crowd up at Ski Wyndham, up at Wyndham Mountain this weekend. It was the third annual Warrior Dash.
Ah, yes. Justin G., our sportscaster, was talking about that on Friday.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I had heard about the event before. I didn't expect it to be quite as crowded. I had never seen a crowd that big up in Wyndham.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was huge. And then, you know, combined with there was this great sculpture show that opened up in Athens. It's in three different locations. One, there's this gorgeous house with the amazing view of the Hudson and the Athens Lighthouse, kind of between Catskill and Athens on 385. It's called the Willows. Turns out it's half owned by the Greenland Conservancy and the Department of Environmental Conservation for New York State, and they're bought it to maintain the view shed, and they're gradually bringing the house back to what it was in 19th century or 18th century times. But there's some beautiful sculpture there. There's sculpture up at the 4 Mile Point Scenic Hudson Park. And then there's more sculpture in the park right down by the riverside in the village of Athens. And there weren't a lot of people out, but the show's going to be up for 2 months, and it's very professional, very cool.
Oh, okay.
There are a lot of people in Catskill on Saturday. After the rains abated, there was a wine tasting on Main Street. There was an art opening for the Museum as Muse show about Civil War relics at the Greene County Council for the Arts. Then you had up on the mountaintop, on the other side of the mountaintop from Wyndham, you had the Tannersville had its annual wacky race, which is very wacky. You know, everybody, it's all these towns are doing anything they can to kind of build up the festival
atmosphere. Right, right.
And, you know, it's almost like they're all kind of mimicking the success that Montreal had after everybody kind of fled. There was a big change that occurred up there in the late 70s, early 80s, where a lot of companies and people moved out of the city, and they remade themselves as a festival town. And it's,
well, believe it or not, the Hudson Music Festival was covered on Capital Area local TV. I was stunned.
Uh-huh.
I was stunned because they seemed to only come down here by accident. And I was really pleased to turn on the local CBS affiliate this morning and see that they actually covered it. They didn't give it short shift. They were out here interviewing. So finally, someone's discovered Columbia County. Now, if we can only get them to go to Greene County.
To Greene, yeah. I mean, sometimes it just takes one at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also, this whole other... Oh, a bacon festival that's going to come up on September 2nd. That was announced in the Register Star. I think it's today. There's a piece about it. And that's going to run September 2nd. It's going to involve just a celebration of bacon. And when you get festivals that are kind of that wacky, it's similar to...
Now, you know, that's right up my alley.
I know. Unfortunately, it's up all our alleys, which it shouldn't be. You know, let's not tell our doctors about this festival.
Right.
But, you know, the ones I like, too, are these wacky ones, like the... Kingston has its artist soapbox derby where everybody rolls down lower Broadway and whatever they can. Saugerties had a bed race a couple weeks ago. You got the wacky race up in Tannersville. I think it's good that we all just show how much fun we can have. It's something that's important to do these days, especially as the economy percolates along as it does. The other big thing here in town, and we have an interview with the woman up on our archives, Marina Abramović, was in town yesterday, and I guess hundreds of people came out to see what how she's planning to spend $15 million, and there were questions about how she's planning to raise $15 million. But the important thing there is her reiteration of the same thing that we're talking about in terms of all these festivals landing in Hudson is how this community has remade itself into a very lively artist community, and how that's starting to draw a lot of attention from elsewhere. Speaking of big crowds, last Thursday, it looked like it was about 2,000 people showed up. It was hot as Hades. It was really humid, if you all recall. But down at Dutchman's Landing in Catskill, they had their annual August concert and a fireworks show. And believe me, it was a great fireworks show. It started off about 10. I had forgotten that it was going on, so we live right up the hill from it all, and suddenly we hear giant explosions and think, oh, God, we're under attack.
Well, I wish I would, because there was the one for July the 4th was really great.
Yeah.
It was a nice small... it's not New York City, but I thought it was fantastic.
They do great fireworks over there. Other things, kind of little things that have been affecting, Yeah, there's a lot of meetings that are going to be going on this week. Greene County has all its committee meetings. There's an awful lot of committee meetings also going on with Columbia County. They're setting schedules for the fall. In Greene County, is kind of a rush to get a lot of stuff done before the election season kicks in. It's a legislative election season over there. And, you know, last time, you know, 4 years ago, it got quite close between Democrats and Republicans. Last time, it started to slip away. They lost a Democrat in the meantime. It looked for it to be a big battle and to be sort of a proxy battle for what's going on the presidential level as well over in Greene County. But, yeah, concurrent with all these committee meetings, and there's a lot of town meetings just kind of setting agendas for the fall, you've also got everybody starting to get ready to get back to school right now.
Yeah, it's about that time.
Ichabod Crane up in Kinderhook is, they're getting everything set so then they can figure out, okay, how are we going to budget sports? You know, because they kind of have knocked sports out in recent years, so they're going to bring that back in. Other districts from Germantown to Greenville to Catskill are trying to figure out how to affect the budget cuts that they passed last spring. You know, who's gonna be coming back, who's not coming back, how are people going to fit in to their classes. Most of that's been decided. All the notifications gone out on bus routes at this point. Kids know who they're going to have as a teacher. They're getting excited. They're also getting nervous. You know, those going from first kindergarten to first grade, yeah, which we have, are going from fifth grade into the middle school at sixth grade are really nervous. And but at the same time, there's a little boost going on in local stores as everybody goes out and does their shopping for the fall, you know, for the fall and for the school season. There was a little thing that, well, it's not a little thing. There was a accident involving two tractor trailers out on Route 23 on the weekend that closed down the highway for hours on end. And I don't know if you've, it's one of the things that we forget up here. It's unlike a city or in a suburb where there's an accident and you just find a way around it, you clear it really fast. You have an accident up here and it really gloms everything.
Yes,
up.
It does. Yes, it does.
You know, but that's also, you know, one of the pleasures of living up here is that things have an effect and you see that effect immediately. Speaking of effects like that, in Greene County, Community Action of Greene County was awarded $184,000. It's going to go into effect October 1st to help in the fight against homelessness. And with a group like Community Action and in a place like Greene County, it's unlike, say, in Hudson, you can actually see homelessness at times. Albany, you can see it a lot more. The size of a city accommodates homelessness in a different way. In a place like Greene County, it's money that goes to keep people from slipping into disaster.
I just had to quickly check my calendar because I know I was having somebody as a guest on next Monday. But that's from independent living. That's not the same organization.
No. Yeah, a very different sort of thing. Some other things. Yeah, it turns out that there's $2.6 million going around the capital region for homelessness issues being shared amongst 15 groups. So it's a kudos to Community Action in Greene County for being able to receive that. And there's been some, you know, just a year ago, two years ago, there was a lot of talk of cuts. Just a year ago, there was a lot of belt tightening going on. Now it seems that there's an easing of all that talk, at least for the moment. But, you know, that's also before Paul Ryan entered the picture this past weekend. So let's see how all that changes. In Hudson, in particular, for Columbia County, there's two very interesting projects. It's got approval from the, this is according to the Register Star, according to the Hudson, or approval from the Hudson Planning Commission. This was last Wednesday. There's going to be a new market going in at 449 Warren Street, or plan to go in, Philly's Fresh Market.
Ah,
and then
okay.
a 16-room hotel at 542 Warren Street.
Oh, well.
You know, so those are, you know, those are major changes. And the hotel's being run by the people who run the Croft House Bed and Breakfast. So there's you know, some background there. It got stalled for a while, but everything seems to be moving ahead.
Well, that's exciting.
Across the river, you can see things are getting complicated when the town of Catskill is looking at hiring a part-time administrator. And this is something that, you know, over here, the Columbia County, which still has a board of supervisors, playing around with the idea of an official administrator to kind of get things moving along. In Catskill, you know, if a town like Catskill is looking at an administrator, either everybody's feeling overwhelmed by their part-time elected positions, or you know, the nature of town business, municipal business, is changing an awful lot. And I suspect it's the latter. Catskill's also, the town board recently set, there's going to be a referendum on the setting up of a new fire district for the town. That's going to take place August 28th, and we'll have more about that next week. There's a new river map that came out for Greene County. The tourism department realized that, you know, you don't get this on the Columbia side of the river, or even in Dutchess County, but on the western side of the river, Greene County is considered one of the great boating sites, locations. And this is not just for people pleasure crafting right around the area, but you've got a lot of people who come, you know, they'll come from the Great Lakes down, you know, the revived Erie Canal system, or coming down from the St. Lawrence River in Canada down through Lake Champlain and Lake George and the Champlain Canal. And so you have this, you know, quite a few marina locations around Catskill itself, but also up in New Baltimore and in Athens and in Coxsackie. And so there's a new map that's come out that shows where there are riverside restaurants, where you can go from a river perspective instead of from a road perspective.
Oh, okay.
And you know, that's kind of a big change, and it's an acceptance of what the county's become, and not just trying to refit it back into the Route 32 kind of tourism plan that died in the 1970s. There's, you know, again, I want to reiterate from last week that there's alerts for whooping cough just to our south down in Ulster County. You know, there's an alert that everybody get vaccinated against whooping cough. So to start paying attention to that up here, because things move very fast these days. Just as, you know, on the infestation front, you know, they finally found an emerald ash borer. You know, it's this little bug that just kills all the ash trees, and it's been found in the town of Woodstock, and that's their border onto Greene County. So that's, you know, these things move very, very fast. Also, with all the rains of late, just I'm hearing reports that there are mold problems starting to proliferate, especially with the humidity. So just be, you know, keep your houses clean. Watch that cough. If you start to feel, you know, a little under the weather, drained out, etc., it could very easily be a mold problem. So just pay attention to that. Kind of continuing on the, you know, there's still, you know, we're almost a little over a week from the TCI fire. There's a lot of fallout still going on in terms of the review of the dangers from that, the leftover. It's filling our blogosphere. But, you know, a lot of people are starting to question whether the state Department of Environmental Conservation and the federal EPA even have the funds to look into problems like this and their aftermath. So kind of answering questions and fielding public concerns about this, Assemblyman Dee Dee Barrett, you know, who's from Dutchess County, she's going to have a public information meeting on the TCI fire and its aftermath on August 16th.
All right. Now, that should be very interesting.
Thursday this weekend. We should have some coverage there.
Where's that meeting? I remember giving the news story about that meeting.
Yeah, that's in West Ghent, and I'm not sure. I believe it's probably at the fire hall there. You know, it's the largest space, but we'll have more on that. I went driving around on the mountaintop through all the areas that got hit by Irene a little over a year ago, and actually went driving around with WGXC council member and producer Dharma Daly, who's going to be doing a whole roundtable discussion in a couple weeks it'll be in early September, just on repercussions from Irene, how the coverage occurred then, just kind of the lessons we've learned and are still learning from that major disaster that hit Greene County just with a huge wallop. Driving around up there, it's just, you know, as I noted earlier, you know, there are crowds in Windham, things in Tannersville were all back to normal. We went out to Prattsville where there's, you know, new streets. There's a lot of activity. There's still a lot of houses that are boarded up there. And yet there's a sense of life there that's kind of surprising to see. They're all preparing for what they're calling Mudfest. Talk about a lot of fun in a interesting way of celebrating 1 year is just to turn the tables on it and make it into a holiday.
Well, I planned on getting in contact with a couple of the businesses to see how they're all doing and doing some live doing some broadcast.
Young's the hardware store, which got just completely devastated, is rebuilding and coming back. It looks like even Briggs Equipment, which was just completely, you know, wrenched apart, is giving it a good try. There's a new kayak business that's in one place that had been empty actually before the flood. The supermarket's doing well. There's a new art center in town. You know, I'll give you some people to talk to on that.
Oh, good, good.
The place that's not looking that well is the town of Lexington, and it's physically looking better. I mean, the roads were repaired. They lost the hamlet of Westkill, which is actually, I used to live there for years, got completely cut off during the flood. So the state highway Route 42 had all its bridges go out on, I think it was on both directions, and then the entire Spruceton Valley got cut off in several places, and they had to helicopter people out. All of that's coming back, but the problem is that the town of Lexington itself had been losing businesses beforehand, and now there's no business there. And so it's, you know, the smaller communities are working, you know, but it's a question, how are they going to, you know, where do they go from here? Do they just become a second home market or what? The other thing that I noticed that is really disturbing on a long run basis is that all the creeks around there, including the largest, the Schoharie Creek, are filled with what they call rock snot, or its official name is Didymo. It's this ugly-looking green algae, and you know the streams are low. They've warmed up because there's no tree cover over them. All the trees got pulled away, and so they're just choking with algae, which is going to choke out the trout, which changes the whole nature up there in a major way, and that's very sad to see. Just you know, to close up here, there's kind of also on the interesting economic development front is there's a piece in the Register Star, I think it was the Register Star, about Catamount Resort over at the Catamount Ski Area. It's a proposed condominium hotel project. Is seeking $1 million in grant funds from the state to put in a sewage treatment plant over there. And it's interesting. Catamount's kind of reviving and doing quite well. based partly on its skiing profile each winter, but also on the fact that it rebuilt itself as a center for those high ropes and what do they call it? You know, it's where you go flying around up in the trees on ropes.
Oh, goodness, yes, yeah.
And it's I've been over there with my nephews. It's always crowded. Everybody's having a great deal of fun. Zip lines, that's what it is. Tons of zip lines. So they've managed to reconfigure themselves. And anything that shows kind of a re-enlivening needs some attention around here, just because it's you know, we're at a time where we have to constantly reinvent ourselves. Finally, on the birthday front, I don't know what you have. It's at first it looked like slim pickings, but I picked out some of my favorite people.
Oh boy! Oh! Wait a minute! You know what? I should have been prepared to cue it up. All right. I have some good birthday. It did look really bad, didn't it?
I know, and then I saw Bert Lahr, you know, the who was the Cowardly Lion.
Yes,
and I
played the entire song this morning.
Okay, that's a great one.
I love that song.
I think we'll have to have the theme song to the Alfred Hitchcock show. It's Alfred Hitchcock's birthday, and you could hardly ask for a funnier or more interesting character out there.
Yes, I went over his biography this morning. A very interesting man, of course, the great Alfred Hitchcock. And that theme was Funeral for a Marionette.
Okay.
From the Alfred Hitchcock show, when he began, "Good evening."
Yes. I don't know whether you picked some nice salsa or some soul or whatever, but it's Fidel Castro's birthday.
Yes,
and
Fidel.
Fidel's still, you know, just a fascinating guy. From over in the Catskills, Philippe Petit.
Yes,
it's his birthday, and Philippe Petit. For those who can't remember, he was the guy who walked between the higher wire artist who walked between the World Trade Center towers.
He caused a lot of mischief.
Yep, and he's still one of the most mischievous guys around there. He's just a great magician, too. He's and a wonderful man. There's Don Ho.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know what he sounds like. I just kept. I mean, he was the Wayne Newton of Hawaii.
Yes, he was the Wayne Newton of Hawaii, and he. Well, let's
which
just,
makes Wayne Newton, yeah, the Don Ho of Las Vegas.
Yes.
So, Danny Bonaduce.
Danny Bonaduce,
who was one of the Partridge Family, mm-hmm. And I remember my sister, she just turned 50, but back in the day, she had such a crush on David Cassidy that she figured she would have to marry Danny Bonaduce to become Dan, so that she could have an affair with David Cassidy. This is a 12-year-old.
He tells a great story that David Cassidy had to actually teach him how to pretend to play the bass.
Okay.
Because
that's an actor. There's
he was strumming it. And so mm-hmm. David Cassidy said, "No, bass players don't strum."
That's a good one. And finally, there's a guy, Dan Fogelberg. And now, I come from a time where everybody had a Dan Fogelberg. There's this one album by Dan Fogelberg that was like in every college dorm room around the country, and I never heard it. I don't know if that means that we should never hear it. But I have no idea what he sounds like. But he was like the epitome of the sensitive singer-songwriter. And
okay.
You know, he passed away in 2007, a few years ago. So that's what I came up with. And you?
You actually, what did the kids say? You bit off of my list. Because that's who I have: Alfred Hitchcock, of course, Bert Lahr, the Cowardly Lion, and Fidel Castro. Those were my features. But how about Annie Oakley?
Oh, okay.
Annie Oakley was born on this day in 1860, and that's the only one that that you had that I didn't. And today is Left-Handers Day.
Aha!
Today's Lefty Day.
Well, what is it? Something like more presidents have been left-handed than not.
I never knew until my baby son was born and started going to school that there was actually a little discrimination against left-handers.
Oh, yeah.
Something else.
Now, my mother was at an age where they would try to force you to be right-handed.
All right. Tie your left hand behind your back.
Yep. So, well, to all those left-handers out there. Oh, here's one last thing out here, and this is kind of a different thing, but it just came in on my email that if there's anybody out there who's an experienced stage manager, there's a job opening. It just came up this morning.
Oh, okay.
For a festival that's taking place from this Thursday, August 16th, through August 26th. It's over in the Woodstock Fringe. They need somebody. It's a paid position. Tech dress rehearsals start today. So this is a job. If you are an experienced stage manager or know an experienced stage manager, call 845-679-0167 as soon as possible, or just go to www.woodstockfringe.org.
Well, the jobs are opening up. I've been noticing that there are a lot more jobs in the... here comes our free CSX commercial. I've been noticing there are much more jobs now in the paper. So people are hiring. Yeah. It's just very, very, very slow.
And it's all shifting into different industries. I mean, I work as a newspaper print person, and, you know, the papers are just falling away underneath my feet, you know, right and left. And it's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, and then I do this program, the work show, in which all the professionals I meet up with say, you know, focus on your math, your science. They call
Absolutely.
It STEM. Science, technology, engineering, and math. And that's where all the jobs are kind of ending up right now. Of course, usually what happens is that everybody will rush that direction, and then that'll lead
Right, and then it won't be. Right, exactly.
Yeah, so maybe they're just crying fire.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. Once again, bringing us up to date.